You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 8th, 2020. Now we wait for a federal judge to sign off on the DOJ dropping the case against Michael Flynn. The Department of Justice moving to drop all charges after all these internal memos have become public. And keep in mind, Democrats such as Nadler and Schiff knew exactly what were in these transcripts for months. And they continue to go around and say, oh, no, there was Russian collusion. I have proof. They have no proof. None, none, none. Flynn was convicted of perjury. Attorney General Barr says they were setting a perjury trap for him, and they never should have been investigating him on the premise he had. So the Department of Justice dropping the charges at this time, and President Trump saying in an interview on Fox and Friends, this is a very dangerous situation. They are dirty politicians, dirty cops, some horrible people, and hopefully they're going to pay a big price in the not-too-distant future. That's right, because more documents are to be released. And the Russian probe investigation is now being reviewed by U.S. Attorney John Durham. We will see more so-called classified information released. One part already released shows that President Obama did know details of Flynn's phone being wiretapped and his phone calls. In fact, his then-Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates was caught unaware, did not even know that Obama knew about it. But nothing wrong with the president knowing about it unless he's dictating what's to be done. Or the other side of the coin is, so he wasn't telling them, but they kind of knew, a little wink and a nod, saying, well, you guys do what you need to do. You know, wink, wink, what I want you to do. I don't know. I'm just raising it. And, oh, by the way, Trump is now saying he also believes that former Vice President Joe Biden was involved in the investigation trying to overthrow his presidency. No reaction from the Biden campaign. So look at some of the testimony that's come out, that's been released, and more is to come. But former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe admitted in 2017 testimony released yesterday, the FBI could not prove the accuracy of the Steele dossier. That was what they used to get surveillance warrants in the FISA court. He was asked straight out, you don't know if it's true or not. He said, that's correct. Well, then how in the hell were you using it to go to the court? And, of course, the politics chips are falling everywhere. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi angry that the DOJ is dropping this case against Flynn, and she says Attorney General William Barr's, quote, politicization of justice knows no bounds. How dare she claim it's a political act by the DOJ based on the testimony that's being released, and more is to come. Former CIA Director Clapper also admitted, we don't have any details, we don't have anything, there's no empirical evidence. And between him and, I should say, he was Director of National Intelligence, and CIA Director John Brennan, also all of them testifying, we had no empirical evidence. Why'd they continue? They were continuing for politics. So here comes Nancy Pelosi riding high on her horse while she spoons another ice cream in her mouth, talking about Barr and the DOJ is being politicized. The same story being repeated, as you would expect, in the echo chamber by House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, again saying, will we see a case here where these prosecutorial decisions are being made on the basis of politics? Exactly what they were doing, and they got caught. The allegations against Joe Biden from Tara Reid, still just allegations. He denies it. Now court documents surfaced, from her divorce proceedings. And her ex-husband at that time was saying, you know, she told me about being sexually harassed in his office, did not name him, did not talk about specifics. You've lost your job, having a tough time. Former President Bill Clinton, Clinton Foundation shut down, but he's got another opportunity. He's going to be the executive producer on a series for the American presidency for the History Channel. It's going to be a history on American presidents. I wonder, in addition to whatever money he's getting, I wonder if, when it comes to his presidency, are they going to talk about cigars, Monica Lewinsky, blue dress? Are they going to include that? Because his presidency is marked, stained as sure as her blue dress was. You think he'll report it? Yeah, right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3, drove 100,000 miles on my knees, hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before. I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This was a takeover. This was a takedown of a duly elected president of the United States. When I fired Comey, because he was dishonest and he lied in front of Congress and other things, when I fired Comey, you know what hit the fan, and it was big. It was big. It was a monster. And those guys, when McCabe was a bad guy, all of these guys started going after each other. I love the FBI. These are great. If you did a poll there, I'd do very well in the FBI. But the top was crooked. They were dirty cops.
President Trump earlier today on Fox and Friends talking about the DOJ deciding to drop the charges against Michael Flynn, to drop the case, I should say. He's already pled guilty to perjury on a 2017 guilty plea of lying to the FBI. He's tried at least twice through court efforts to withdraw the plea because he felt he was set up. And he had to testify, he says, because they were putting pressure on my family, threatening to take my son to jail, and I had to protect them, do whatever I could. And now we're getting information released from some of these transcripts that were taking place behind closed doors at the time. Adam Schiff overseeing the investigation of any Russian collusion between Trump and Russia. And you, of course, had Adam Schiff come out and say, I have evidence of collusion. Evidence of collusion. He had no evidence. None. And the transcripts already released, and those yet to come, by those familiar with them, show no evidence. I'm telling you, you've got top Obama officials admitting no empirical evidence of a Trump-Russia collusion. That includes former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. His testimony in 2017, behind the closed doors, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting, conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election. I don't recall any instances where I had direct evidence. And, of course, Clapper has been on CNN a lot, and he continued to parrot the line, yeah, there's something wrong here. He would not tell the American public as he went forward on CNN that I have nothing there. I looked at it, there's nothing there. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, in her transcript, said, I'm not in possession, didn't read or absorb information that came from the intelligence community. None. Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice said, to the best of my recollection, there wasn't anything smoking. There were some things that gave me pause. But when she's asked directly, do you have evidence of a conspiracy? Her statement, I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence. No evidence. And yet they continued to inquire and try to make a story line out of it and used it to go against Flynn, thinking they could get him to provide evidence which no one else had. And he couldn't because there was no such evidence. But, of course, the left is building its case because now these transcripts are released, and they had to be released with the permission of Adam Schiff. And he had to do it because Republicans were putting pressure on him, saying, you need to release those. They've been cleared and redacted, and you cannot continue to hold them. So he released some. There are another 60 to come. I should say 60, about 50 plus, which includes numerous Obama administration officials being questioned. And the ones I just told you about, at the top of it, they said, we never saw any evidence. But with A.G. Barr deciding to drop the case, here's the reaction of Democrat Adam Schiff.
Chris, I think we lost 50 years worth of ground in solidifying the independence of the Justice Department after Watergate. This really puts us back in the category of almost an emerging democracy where the rule of law is not yet firmly established, where prosecutorial decisions are made on the basis of politics.
How can he say that with a straight face? He was appearing on Chris Hayes' program on MSNBC. And you heard him say, we're looking at a case where prosecutorial evidence and decisions are made on the basis of politics. That's what they were doing. That was their entire game, trying to get Trump out of office. The bias was already there. We've seen it in the text emails between Agent Smurf Stroke and his lover, Lisa Page, and other pieces of evidence that they wanted Trump removed by whatever means. You think that wasn't based on politics? Of course it was. Well, Trey Gowdy, who was serving in the House Oversight Committee at that time, overseeing some of this as well, he had a reaction to Schiff claiming this was politics.
I would tell Adam to watch your show and go listen in particular to the Jim Comey interview where the head of the world's premier law enforcement agency is bragging about what he wanted to get away with. I would tell him to go look at Peter Strzok and all of those texts. If that's the FBI that Adam Schiff wants for this country, an FBI head that wants to see what he can get away with, that sent an agent to interview Michael Flynn because he wanted to. There was no criminal investigation. There was no counterintelligence investigation. It's just an arrogant head of the FBI full of hubris who wanted to send agents over to mess with Michael Flynn. Today was a great day for Bill Barr. It was a lousy day for Jim Comey.
Absolutely. And Gowdy's on Martha McCallum on Fox News saying, if you just have Schiff sit down and watch some of the program you've already had, some of the bites, and watch your reaction from Comey. But the left is locked down on that this, at this point, is politics. Up to that, before we got to this, before the information is released to all of us to know what was being said behind those closed doors, when Obama administration official after Obama administration official repeatedly said, I have no evidence. I never saw anything. No empirical evidence. Nothing. Maybe some stories, but no proof. No proof. They were asked repeatedly. They had not one piece of proof. And with these transcripts being released and more to come, it's going to cause more to hit the fan, as the president was suggesting a moment ago. And, well, it should. We should make sure that we keep this on fire. See, they think that releasing it now, it will help them get more steam going into November. And they were released. And keep in mind, one of the items being released was a scope memo notifying the special counsel at that time, Robert Mueller, for his investigation. And the memo written by Rosenstein, Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general at the time, authorized Mueller to investigate, quote, any links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Trump. Quote, any matters that arose or may arise directly from the investigation. Another quote, any other matters within the scope. In other words, do whatever you want. Here's the key. Open any door you want. He authorized a deep dive criminal probe well beyond any of the Trump collusion things which Mueller was supposed to do, and they still couldn't come up with anything. And the reason this is all blown up right now is because these handwritten notes that have been released. Former FBI head of counterintelligence, Bill Priestap, wrote after a meeting with FBI director then James Comey and deputy director Andrew McCabe, the note talking about, are we trying to get Flynn to admit to breaking the Logan Act? What is our goal? Truth, admission, or get him to lie so we can prosecute him and get him fired? And Adam Schiff claims politics are being played at this point. The DOJ saying we're dropping everything and kicking the case out is rectifying and dealing with the political goal and game the Democrats were playing. Adam Schiff, of course, he continues to stand by because he has to. He has to continue to defend. And I just read you and told you that there's nothing empirical in any of these. All of these that have been released so far and the ones yet to come all indicate there's nothing here. Not one of us have any evidence. And yet, listen to the lie Adam Schiff continues to peddle, and I would guarantee you it's echoing within the Democrat ranks and those who follow blindly, especially watching CNN, MSNBC, or any other leftist organization. I'm going to give you both sides. I've always done that. You're not going to get it on the others. So those sold out to the Democrats and their leftist media, when they see Schiff make this next statement, they say, yep, that's right, that's right. Adam's right, Adam's right. Just listen to what he said.
Those transcripts reveal in great detail how substantiated the Mueller investigation was, all the steps that Donald Trump and his family members and allies took to get Russian help, how they lied about it, how they covered it up, how they obstructed justice into it. And in an effort to make that go away, you have this effort to push out a completely counter narrative at odds, certainly with the truth, but consistent with the president's political objectives.
Yeah. If Chris Hayes, and I praised him the other day for the way he was treating the Biden case. I gave him praise at MSNBC for their interview that Mika did with Biden the other day. But I told you I'm often on their case anyway, and here's another case where I want to call them out, because if Chris Hayes were truly, as he's titled, an anchor, he would have asked real hard questions instead of just letting Schiff make a remark of that. He would have put one of those quotes right back in front of him. I got a quote right here that says, from your former director of national intelligence, I never saw any evidence. What's your response? But he didn't do that, because his job is not to attack the Democrats on MSNBC and CNN. Their job is to do damage as they can against the Trump administration and Trump supporters. So they're not even going to attempt to be fair at all. And many other organizations are the same thing. So again, Trey Gowdy, who served as a former House Oversight Committee chairman through all this, and sat through a lot of these inquiries, closed-door meetings and so forth. He was on the program today on Fox with Martha McCallum, and she said, Adam Schiff says transcripts bear out everything we heard, that they were right. That's what Adam Schiff says. You just heard his quote. Let's play that Adam Schiff bite one more time. I want you to hear it again in full context.
Those transcripts reveal in great detail how substantiated the Mueller investigation was, all the steps that Donald Trump and his family members and allies took to get Russian help, how they lied about it, how they covered it up, how they obstructed justice into it. And in an effort to make that go away, you have this effort to push out a completely counter narrative at odds, certainly with the truth, but consistent with the president's political objectives.
And the narrative, if you look at the deposition, the narrative doesn't have to be created by the Republicans. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper testifying, I never saw any direct empirical evidence. None. So Trey Gowdy, who served as, again, as I say, the former House Oversight Committee chairman through all of this, what's your reaction to Adam Schiff saying, hey, the transcripts prove my case that there was collusion?
I was in that room for a year with Swalwell and Schiff. It's the longest damn year of my life. Mm-hmm. Every witness will say the exact same thing. I ask every one of them, give me all the evidence of collusion, coordination, conspiracy you have with anybody in the Trump campaign, with anybody in Russia, and the answer was none.
None. He said, give me the evidence. There was their perfect opportunity. Put the evidence in front of us. But, of course, all that was behind closed doors. We were not told, and they could not come out and say. Gowdy couldn't come out and say, we asked, and they didn't, you know, he couldn't do that. They had to be sealed at that point. That gave Adam Schiff an opportunity to just go out and make stuff up. I had not circumstantial evidence. I have clear evidence and documentation. Liar, liar, liar. Lied to the public. Lied to Congress later. And he wants you to believe him. Watch that nose. I will guarantee you it will grow. More on this story after this short break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Jim Comey, I got the title for his next book, How My Arrogance Ruined the Reputation of the World's Premier Law Enforcement Agency. That's your next title. It's long, but the book is long. But that's the next book he ought to write. Not one about honor and integrity, how his own arrogance and hubris wrecked the FBI.
The words of James Comey, and I think he's right on target. And yes, the previous book by Comey made him look so good. The Boy Scout. He had all the appearances of it. But his heart, his soul was sold out to the dark side. Comey lied to the president several times about if he's really under investigation when Comey obviously knew otherwise. And, of course, he was heading up the FBI that was carrying out the investigation of him. And look at the other members of the FBI that were involved at that time. Andrew McCabe, deputy director. He obviously had to be involved. And Andrew McCabe has since been released by the FBI. And they could have filed, the DOJ could have gone after him on perjury charges because he did not tell the truth to investigators looking at him. They didn't do it. They didn't go after him like they did Flynn. And they should have. It's happened during the Trump administration. And then you got Agent Stroke Smurf fired because of his text messages showing his clear bias against Trump. He's now suing because he said, I was fired unjustly. And then his lover also got fired, and she's also suing. In fact, she wants money to pay for her counseling sessions because Trump, using her name repeatedly, has traumatized her. KT McFarland was a former deputy national security advisor under Flynn for about 4 months. And she said, when you look at how this took place, it couldn't be just one person carrying this out. You had multiple players.
I think that it wasn't just one or two bad apples. I think it was coming from, because, you know, Brian, government doesn't work that way. It's not like some mid-level bureaucrat can decide, oh, I'm going to take down the president's national security advisor. I'm going to try to take down Trump. they don't have that, you know, they don't have that power. It had to be multi-agency, and it had to be at the high, approved at the highest levels, or at least known about at the highest levels.
And the highest levels we now know went to the White House. Obama was being briefed on the Flynn investigation. Did he have a direct import on it, giving them directions? As I said earlier, there's no evidence of that. But it's also to the point where if they came in and reported something, how they're doing, and he might say, well, I can't tell you what to do. You do what you think is best, and give them kind of a wink, wink, you know what I want. In the meantime, Brandon Van Grack, a top Justice Department prosecutor, former member of Special Counsel Mueller's team, has withdrawn from the Flynn case. He was overseeing it. He's withdrawn, and you know why? Because of this evidence coming out now showing handwritten notes, the FBI was trying to ask, do we get in Flynn to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? Van Grack, part of the multi-agents taking part in this effort to destroy Donald Trump. And he was also involved in the Hillary Clinton investigation. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined from the West Coast by James Herson. I'll get a late report on him on what's going on with coronavirus on the West Coast and his take on all of this latest developments with Michael Flynn.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I should point out to you, so far, even after the DOJ saying we're ready to kick the Flynn case out, there's no reaction from Flynn at this point. Not a public statement. But he did do something I want to share with you before we wrap up today's program. He did something which will leave a smile on your face. Because Michael Flynn had his grandson do something. And I want to share it with you before we wrap up this program. You want to stick around for that. So, in the previous hour, we had John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman, giving us a view of coronavirus on the East Coast. He's in Long Island, 20 miles from downtown New York City, the epicenter of coronavirus. And John gave us an update of that area. Now, from the East Coast, let's switch to the West Coast. My next guest, James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney. James, welcome aboard, sir.
Oh, great to be with you, Larry. How are you?
I'm great. I've got a lot of questions on a lot of different fields, so I'm going to be pushing pretty hard on you on some of these. Let's begin. Let me get your assessment right now, the coronavirus in California, where we are.
Well, basically, you know, we were told that we had to flatten the curve. The curve was flattened about a couple of weeks ago. We were told that we had to be concerned about the ICU, hospital beds, and medical infrastructure. We got hospitals that are so empty that they're closing. The current deaths in California, every human life is important, but we have an average now of 5 people dying per 100,000 in the population. And if you look at the mortality rate for those under 75, it's lower than the mortality rate for the ordinary flu. So the shutdown has become a political agenda weapon. And we have a governor in California that is dragging his feet and trying to actually put in measures to slow the economy reopening, I believe on orders from his aunt Nancy.
Yep.
And Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Is and you know, other Democrats, and I think it's turned into a political weapon.
I have pointed that out.
And it's
yeah.
the same, and what we're seeing is the same pattern.
Yeah.
We live in a time, Larry, of the unthinkable. You know, it was unthinkable to believe that people in the highest levels of law enforcement and intelligence would unlawfully try to reverse an election and stage a coup.
All right, I need to hold you on that.
That's true.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a moment, but I want to focus a little bit more on some, as you said, the left using this as an opportunity. Is Ron Emanuel, I'm not going to let the crisis go to waste. Your LA City Council now voting to name hotels that refuse to house homeless as they're trying to place 15,000 homeless. This is another push to get them off the streets, coronavirus spreading, put them in hotels. Rich Carlton, downtown L.A., said, we don't want to take them. We've got luxury condo residents. We're not going to bring homeless into here. And the L.A. City Council saying, if you don't, and this scares the hell out of me, if you don't, we may commandeer your hotel. That is one step short of nationalization.
Commandeer is a military term that's used particularly in the Navy when you have a battle and you take over a enemy's vessel.
It's Venezuela. It's all over.
Yeah. It's blatantly unconstitutional, illegal, Soviet-style thinking. But unfortunately, you know, this is the City Council of Los Angeles. We have basically instituted a non-democracy in Southern California and all over California. We encourage people to be able to cheat in elections and take away the right to vote of citizens in California.
Let's look at San Francisco.
And
I want to, as I said, I got a lot of targets I want to hit.
Okay, go ahead.
San Francisco. San Francisco has been doing the same thing, trying to house the homeless, saying that we need to get them off the streets. This is all built on the coronavirus scare, which we were talking about earlier. And you gave us the latest number, you see. And in San Francisco, they've been doing the same thing, placing homeless in hotels. Something like 8,000 hotel rooms they're trying to put in place to use for these. And then the word came out of one of them who was there, describing himself as a formerly homeless addict in recovery. He said, I just saw that when they placed them in these hotels and to keep them from leaving their room, if they had admitted they're an alcoholic or drug user, they are delivering free alcohol, marijuana, and methadone to their room so they won't leave going out seeking it.
Yeah, but this is a scam, and here's how they do it, because it was just attempted in a hotel that I'm familiar with. And so what they say is, we need the hotel in order to provide shelter for people who have been infected with the coronavirus. But they always put language in those that are probable to become infected with the coronavirus. There's their opening. And basically what they're doing is, as you point out, they're using the pandemic in order to solve a crisis that they created, that these cities that are run by left-wing loons, as you know, San Francisco is the worst of all of them, with the piles of hypodermic needles, human excrement, and tent cities.
Yeah, they had an epidemic of that, and they didn't deal with that. Now the coronavirus, we'll deal with this.
Now, so yeah, right, and we had the bubonic plague appearing in San Francisco and other diseases from the medieval era. And so they see an opportunity to clean up the streets on the backs of the owners and operators of hotels, which are empty, by the way. All the hotels are empty because of the lockdown, the world lockdown. And so this is the thing that just grips me. We're supposed to be fighting human suffering and death. Well, by continuing the lockdown, that's exactly what we're creating in much greater numbers than the virus could ever dream of.
Yeah, like the increased salon operator in Dallas jailed the other day, yeah.
Increased addictions, mental illness, suicides, deaths from diseases that are caused from economic hardship. I mean, we have 14% unemployment showing from last month's numbers.
That's
going to double this month.
And we
have people laughing. They're giddy with delight.
Oh, I agree. When the word came out yesterday that there's coronavirus in the West Wing because President Trump's valet had it, they were so excited and happy. I need to turn the corner on you. The Justice Department dropping the case against Michael Flynn. And I've got several points I want to go through, but let me get a quick 30-second reaction from you so we hit some others. Go ahead.
Michael Flynn is a tremendous, patriotic, wonderful human being who was absolutely railroaded. What was done to him was illegal. We all suspected it. Now the documents prove it. They also prove that it came from the top. It came from President Obama. And he's going to have to answer questions one of these days.
Let me clarify something. It didn't come from him, but he was being advised of it. We don't know that it came from him. But we do now know that he was being told about it. And as I said earlier, he might have said, I can't tell you what to do, but you do what's right, and kind of give him a wink, wink. In other words, they were getting indirect direction.
He's the boss. The buck stops there. His pattern in his administration was misusing all the agencies of the executive branch. And he politicized everything he touched.
All right, now Flynn.
The corruption came from him.
Flynn, of course, did plead guilty to perjury. Now, my previous guest in the previous hour, John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman, Republican, a Reaganite, he says, well, Flynn obviously pled guilty. He did a crime. Well, the decision from Barr and others at this point is he was convicted on something that wasn't really a crime because they never had the basis to go over there and investigate what they were trying to do. Your thought?
The plea, he made a motion to set the plea aside. That decision has not been made.
But what about him? What about him pleading guilty to perjury to begin with? Why would you do it otherwise?
He was under duress because they threatened to prosecute his son because they had bankrupted the man, because he knew that the case was fake. They illegally wiretapped him. Anybody, this is the line, I'm really surprised at John, but this is the BS line of the New York Times and CNN. His plea means nothing. This was malicious prosecution, and his plea, he's already motioned to withdraw it now that he got a decent lawyer in Sidney Powell.
All right.
That plea was made under duress. If you enter a contract under duress, the contract is void.
And to that extent,
yeah. Form of a contract.
Yeah, and again, Barr said that sometimes people plead guilty to something that really isn't a crime. Really quickly, in the last 30-plus seconds here, we've got these House Intel transcripts that are coming out that's blowing the door open. That was part of releasing the DOJ backing off of Flynn now publicly. When you got the Director of National Intelligence, Clapper, saying, I never saw any direct empirical evidence, and others testifying to back to Schiff and Nader and all the rest of them back behind closed doors, and they continue to parrot the story that we had not just circumstantial evidence but proof. They're right there very quickly in your response that Clapper says, we never saw anything, no evidence.
Again, this confirms everything that we suspected. Adam Schiff is a pathological, a sick liar, and he continues in his lies.
All right.
He continues to mischaracterize that testimony. That testimony proves that the entire Russia collusion absolutely was a lie.
All right, John.
And are the apologies?
No, you're not going to get those.
Press.
Yeah, you're not going to get those. James, again, thank you very much. I'm up against a hard break. I do thank you, sir.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Wow, I tell you, these 2 hours have just flown by. And that interview with James Hurston again, always, it's got so much information. I was trying to touch on a lot of points, and I thank him for accepting the fact that I was going to be really pushing him through again today. So we have this situation again. As we look over this case involving and the charges against Michael Flynn. And Flynn has been, as James had said, and we've told you before, saying, I pled guilty to that because they were threatening my son. They're going to put my son in jail. And now we've got Attorney General Barr saying, basically, he didn't do anything wrong. And then his words, according to Barr, I've got them right here in front of me, the FBI kept its investigation open, quote, for the express purpose of trying to catch, lay a perjury trap for General Flynn. And when asked about that guilty plea that Flynn offered, for whatever reason, Barr stated, well, you know, people sometimes plead to things that turn out not to be crimes. And the Department of Justice is not persuaded that this was material to any legitimate counterintelligence investigation, so it was not a crime. You can call it technicality if you want. Folks get off on murder charges on technicalities. Is that what you want to say? But in this case, it was a frame-up and a scam from the beginning. This has cost Flynn a great deal, millions of dollars. His current attorney said the guy has been persecuted over and over again. He paid his first law firm about $3.5 million. It's not clear if that was all of the legal bills. Supposedly he had about $4.6 million in legal bills still to be paid. He was on the edge of financial ruin. Basically, he was. Had to sell his town, his home in Alexandria, Virginia. Asked $895,000 to use it for legal fees. Got $819,000. His siblings started coming up with money to help him. They didn't do a GoFundMe account because they didn't want it put out there like that, but they had others stepping forward to help Flynn during this time. And now for this to happen, the case being thrown out, it does not replenish all the money he spent nor the threats and what he was facing. But he did something, and not so far responding officially. No official comment from Michael Flynn about this at this point. Letting his lawyer do the talking. And again, even though the DOJ says it's dropping the case, the judge has to actually make the ruling to release it. John LaBoutière, New York congressman, former New York congressman, in our first hour said he doesn't think the judge will do it. He thinks the judge will want something more. I disagree with John, but we'll see. I think the judge is going to kick it because, first of all, if he looks at the testimony being presented, the public word that's out there, much less what he might see otherwise, the intel transcripts delivered to the House by folks like Director of National Intelligence Clapper saying there's nothing here, no evidence of a Trump-Russia collusion. And that's what they're trying to pin on Flynn as being a point for it because he had made a phone call to a Russian agent. In advance of them moving into the White House, he was calling because Obama put on sanctions, and he was calling them saying, hey, don't do tit for tat. Let us get things set, and let's don't escalate things. Let us try to help. And for that, they were nailing him. So Flynn has not officially responded, but what he did do, he put up a clip of his grandson. Now, what you're going to hear is hard to hear. It's a child. I think, I didn't see an age. I want to say maybe 4 years, could be five. I think closer to four, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. So again, it's a child's voice. I want you to hear it. I'll give you a chance to hear it a second time. But Flynn is there, I guess, with other relatives as his grandson recites the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic, well, what's a church? One nation under God, and the reservoir of liberty, and this is the
end. All right, buddy.
All right. Yeah, you got some words mispronounced, but my God, he was reciting it from memory. I want you to hear it again. So now you've heard it. And, of course, in a child's voice, it's kind of sometimes a little hard to decipher. But you know the Pledge of Allegiance. You could sit there wherever you are, driving in your car, sitting at your work or whatever it is, and you just go through the Pledge of Allegiance in your mind as you hear him recite it, because I would guarantee you he got every part of it in there. Please listen.
Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation under God, and the valuable of liberty and justice.
I love it. I love it. With liberty and justice for all. Michael Flynn finally seeing some justice. And President Trump says all of those who were taking him down, the FBI agents and all of the rest of them that were intent on fabricating lies, creating their narrative, he said they should be punished. That means criminal, and I hope they go all the way with them. That wraps up our week. It's been a busy week. We'll be back next week. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.